Let's pray, and then we'll get into the text a little bit. Lord, thank you for your word, and I thank you that it is a reminder of the centrality of our faith in Jesus. And we pray that that Jesus, coming to Jesus, would be our main goal of life in the journey that you have put us on. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's talk about journey. We've all heard the phrase, life is a journey. People who say that usually have lived long enough to know that to be true, and that would be us. We've been around long enough to know that, yeah, life is a journey. In some ways, we never expected to be where we are today. For some, that journey of life involves a lot of traveling. I was thinking about, as I was writing this, my own traveling journeys, and I've lived in and worked in 5 U.S. states. I'm sure some of you have worked maybe even in more. 5 U.S. states, and then in addition to the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico. And in addition to that, I've traveled to many states of the U.S. and traveled extensively overseas in my work in missions. And now I'm here. I'd never expected in my journey of life to have traveled ultimately to the Northwest, but I'm happy of that. One of our long-term members, as I mentioned, Dave Sharp, passed away yesterday morning, and his family were for generations original pioneers of this area up in the Skagit Valley, arriving there in the 1800s. And Dave was born and raised in a small cabin up there, and he would tell me that he's never moved 10 miles beyond where he lived, which is not completely true, but his journey of life never really moved him beyond this place of the Northwest. That was his journey, which is now ended, and it begins with the Lord now. Some journeys are physical and involve traveling. Other journeys are more intangible and are more spiritual. There's a part, of the human soul that seeks and needs to be satisfied or fulfilled in some way. Everyone is looking for something. And there's a long list of things that we know people use to fill the void in their lives. Because our country has enjoyed several years now of economic prosperity, Americans have done what they tend to do when they have money, go into debt. Personal debt, according to those who analyze this thing, is now at the highest it's been since before the economic crisis of 2008, proving once again that shopping continues to be one of the main ways many people use to fulfill that void within their lives. Others try to fill that space with something more spiritual. There's all kinds of new and growing and diverse religions that are out there, but religion itself cannot fill that void. The fact that more and more of our society is rejecting religion is proof of that. Religion in and of itself is empty. It really is. And ironically, that's something that biblical Christians can agree with. Jesus didn't come to establish the church as if the church itself offered hope as a religion. Jesus established disciples, rather, who would form a church in order to point to Jesus, the only one who can bring peace to the human soul. So the only spiritual journey that can do what the soul truly needs must arrive at Jesus. Only Jesus is the end of all spiritual journeys that seek to find what the human soul is created for. In the gospel passage this morning, we have an example of a small group of people. We're not even sure. It doesn't say three. Who knows? That's from sort of medieval myth, but there's a small group of people who've come from the East to journey to come to Jesus. So let's talk about that particular thing. So the story about the journey of the Magi, the text will translate that sometimes wise men, but that's not necessarily true. But the journey is about a biblical story that in the church history marks the beginning of Epiphany. Epiphany begins tomorrow, the 6th of January, and sometimes it's on Sunday, sometimes not, but I wanted the reading to be the Epiphany. This is the Epiphany reading, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. One starts on Christmas Day, and then tomorrow's the 12th day of Christmas, I think. Or maybe today's the 12th day of Christmas. Somebody tell me that after the sermon, and then I'll be able to correct that to the second group. And you're actually supposed to keep lights on and Christmas stuff on for all those 12 days. I go around my neighborhood telling all the people that are not taking their lights down, the season's not over. Keep those lights up, please. But they go off at our neighborhood the second day after Christmas. But the Magi, you know, the myths surrounding the Magi in the Middle Ages were that there were three kings, I can't remember their names, but that they were kings that came from the East. And so when we were missionaries in Puerto Rico on Epiphany Day, whatever that was, the 6th of January, it was a national holiday there, it was called Three Kings Day. And you were required to give your kids presents on that day. And not only at Christmas, but on Three Kings Day. And we would go downstairs in our little apartment, pick grass in the neighborhood. You were supposed to pick grass, put it in a little box, put it under the bed for the camels, for the three kings. And the kids thought it was great, better than in the U.S. We only got one set of presents. But they didn't know that we split up the presents, and so they weren't really getting anything more. So we don't know exactly where the Magi came from. That's the original biblical word. But the text does give us some clues. One clue is the word Magi, Magoi in the Greek, which is translated wise men. That word Magi is actually an ancient Persian word. And it was the Magi in Persia were the priests of an ancient Persian religion, one of them called Zoroastrianism in that day. So the other clue is that they came from the East, it says in the text, which is where the Persians lived. So most biblical scholars, when they think of these Magi, think, well, it's logical that they would come from Persia. And if so, their journey would have been about 1,500 miles. And if you remember your Old Testament studies, or at the very least came to Lent and heard my sermons over the last couple of years, we've talked about a lot about the exile and the exile in Persia. And we know from talking about the exile the last couple of years that they were exiled to Babylon, which became Persia, and many of them stayed after that. The books of Daniel and Esther talks about what God did with the people or for the people in Persia. So the Magi knew about Jews. There were Jews probably still living in that region. They had some knowledge about what God had done in their own history. And in some way, God called them to find Jesus as the star appeared. Somehow they knew what that meant, guiding them by this star to the one who was born King of the Jews. And there, their objective was to worship him, worship Jesus. Now, when God called Abraham, if you remember that story from Genesis 12, from a place not far from ancient Persia, he called them to a new land, and there would raise up a nation through him, and they would be God's people on earth and throughout the Old Testament. The deal is, here's what missions was in the Old Testament. You know, the New Testament missions is going out to the world. In the Old Testament, missions was people coming to Israel. If you were a pagan, you lived somewhere else, and you wanted to know about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you came to Israel. You came to Jerusalem. You came to the temple. Okay? That's what mission was in the Old Testament. But then Jesus came and changed everything. In Christ, God literally came, personally came to this planet. And now, if you wanted to encounter God, you didn't just have to go to Israel or Jerusalem or the temple. You went to Jesus to find God. Now, the Magi were doing what God seekers, however, had done throughout their history. They traveled to Israel, to Jerusalem, because there they expected to meet the King of the Jews, the Messiah. But he wasn't there. So, of course, Herod finds out about the Magi and their journey to find the Messiah. Everybody's kind of wondering about this. And Herod has been way too busy doing other things to know much about the biblical prophecy surrounding the Messiah and that he would be born in Bethlehem. His journey, the journey of Herod, has been on a different track. And it was always about, for him, finding more power, more control, rather than seeking the Lord, journeying toward the Lord. Herod's father had been appointed by the Romans to govern that part of the world for them. And Herod, the son, was put in charge of the military. And as a general, Herod destroyed all of Rome's enemies from Judea, where he lived, all the way up into Syria. When his father died, the Roman Senate gave the job of king of the whole area to Herod and gave him the title King of the Jews. And for the rest of history, he is known as Herod the Great. He had money, he had power, probably great cars, who knows. But his own people hated him. But that didn't matter. The only thing that Herod was afraid of was his sons taking over from him, taking over the job and getting rid of him. So to guarantee that they would never kill him, his three sons, he had three of them executed, only one days before his own death. So when Herod hears that there is a king of the Jews, the Messiah, and he was to be born in Bethlehem, he sends the Magi there to seek him out, to identify him. He says he wants to worship him, but we all know that he wants to kill him. But the Magi were different. They were looking for Jesus, to worship him genuinely. And Matthew says in the text that they found, however many there were, the baby where he lived, and they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they gave him his first presents. You know, when Jesus was born, it wasn't Christmas. They didn't, you know, he started Christmas. But so that's the whole tradition that begins with gift giving. That's why in the Eastern Church, Eastern Orthodox Church and such, they don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Epiphany tomorrow as Christmas. And so they give presents. And in the Western Church, those churches founded sort of under the umbrella of the Roman Catholic Church and others like us, they give Christmas. They celebrate Jesus coming at Christmas time. The tradition of giving gifts at Christmas began as an act of worship. Now, these Magi probably didn't know who Jesus was exactly, that he was the Son of God and that he was before the creation of all things. They didn't know that he was a king who would suffer and die for the sins of the world. They didn't know that one day, as Paul said, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They didn't know these things, but yet they still came and worshiped him. And because they obeyed the word of God that came to them in a dream, they didn't tell Herod where Jesus was. And even though Herod's title was King of the Jews, even though he had wealth and power and control, he never found the Lord in order to destroy him. And without the Lord, however, he never found what his soul really needed. Anne Lamott says, "We all want God, but left to our own devices, we seek all the worldly things, possessions, money, looks, power, because we think that they will bring us fulfillment. But this turns out to be a joke because they are just props. And when we check out of this life, we have to give them all back to the great prop master in the sky. They're just on loan. They're not ours." Well, what we worship tells us what we really focus on. It tells us the direction of our journey, what we worship, what we value. Herod worshipped his power and his wealth. But the Magi came to worship the king, the true king of the Jews, born in Bethlehem. Jesus was the end and the fulfillment of their long journey. Are you coming to Jesus, or is your journey leading somewhere else? Why have you come to church this evening, or this morning rather? Seems like evening because it's so dark. Worship is something that happens, of course, in church. Although one can be in church, and at the same time, one's heart can be far from the Lord. It would be a mistake to believe that coming to church is the same thing as coming to Jesus. In fact, one can come to Jesus without coming to the church, and one can come to church without coming to Jesus. The value of church, and I'm not trying to throw water on the church. I spent my life dedicated to the church. But the value of the church is that it is the place of where the word of God is heard. And because of that, Jesus is found there. The place where Christians can practice together living out the life of Jesus. It's the base of mission whose main purpose is always to make Jesus known. And when we come here for any other reason than to come to Jesus, then the church has lost its purpose and the reason for being. And unfortunately, that too often that happens. And the place that was intended to be filled with Jesus becomes full of something else. So why are you here? Why did you come? For those who have come to Jesus, and are still coming to Jesus, because we're always coming to Jesus, right? Then we have found the very thing that we were created for. We have found what can only satisfy the human soul. The things that they are really looking for, even when they don't even know they're looking for it, we found in Jesus. With that, let me leave two quotes from a great theologian of the church, St. Augustine, the years around 400 AD. In his great book called The Confessions, which I would recommend, it's just a very thin little book, but just a wonderful testimony of his coming to Jesus, because he had his own journey, St. Augustine did. He says, and you've heard this a million times probably, in his prayer at the beginning of that book, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." And another quote that I also found just recently, to encourage us on our journey of faith, St. Augustine says this: "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance, to seek him the greatest adventure, to find him the greatest human achievement." Come to Jesus, find him, and you will see that all these things are true. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.